Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were taught that even though the blood of the Lord Jesus was applied to the mercy seat in heaven 2,000 years ago, it is not applied to our account until we receive Him. Let's continue with that subject today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We had a young lady in our church. She got saved that Sunday morning. At Sunday night, she got baptized. She had metal through her face. She had tattoos. She was what you think of looking like that some people would on the street. I mean, it's not one young lady. It's had others, too. And you'd think, wow, man. You know, she got saved. But you know what the first thing she did? Because she remained faithful to church. She got rid of all that metal in her face. All of a sudden, she was wearing a dress to church, not dressed the way she came when she first come in the church. And things started happening in her life. Now, she should have gotten a dress on. She should have gotten those things out of her face and all those things that would say, I'm relevant to the world instead of to Christ. She did that. Okay, what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit, because she comes in one Sunday and she's saved and she's changed. To this day, she's still going for the Lord. And what I'm saying is that when the Lord changes you, He changes you. But also, the Lord gives you His Holy Spirit when you get saved, and He will convict you. When did His shed blood take place that was shed for your sin, for my sin, for our soul? Well, of course, it took place 2,000 years ago. When was it applied to our account? If it took place 2,000 years ago, when was it applied to our account? Well, there's a mercy seat in heaven that has the blood upon it. The blood that was shed of Jesus Christ, where He placed that blood at the mercy seat to show the penalty was paid in full for all sin for all time. But it must be received. And so, therefore, when I receive Christ, that blood is also applied to my account. And that's the same way it would be for you. Oh, mercy there was great, and great grace was free. Wow. And so, that's the mercy seat in heaven. Now, when did election take place? You ever think about that? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, concerning, as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, boy, I tell you, there are those groups out there that say some are predestined to go to hell and some are predestined to go to heaven. Boy, they like this verse. I mean, they do. They use it. And chosen before the foundation of the world. Yeah, it's already decided we're going to get saved. Some were chosen for the foundation to go to hell. God just wanted to go ahead and punish them anyway, regardless of who they are, what they are, what they did, and how they did it. He chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blemish before Him, which say in love. Now, the blood took place 2,000 years ago, but wasn't applied to your account until you received Christ. Election took place also, long before the cross, but it is not applied to your account until you receive Him by your free will as your Lord and Savior. Before the foundation of the world. That's why Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 lets us know that we are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. So, when Christ died for me, He paid my sin in total, but He is my righteousness. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That doesn't mean I believe so hard, all of a sudden I'm righteous now. We're believing on the righteousness of Christ to be accepted in our place as we are in Christ, to make us accepted in the Beloved, as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says. So, we are before Him, accepted. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, how could we be without blame when we know we're sinners? Because Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And so, don't let people twist election to some kind of sordid thing in which they make themselves a part of the elite. And if you don't believe exactly like I do, then you're not part of us. Oh, you're something terrible. Okay? So just keep that in mind. So having Christ, having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is your salvation. He predestinated to us, Ephesians 1:5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. Okay, this is another thing I mentioned earlier, that we are adopted. Whoa, according to the good pleasure of His will. See there, the good pleasure of His will. You don't choose to get saved, you just... He's already chosen you, and you either get saved or you're not saved. Well, then that removes something. Makes God a liar, I guess, because it removes the part that says that we are created in His image, and God is the Spirit, and therefore we lose that free will. If that's the case, then that would make God a liar, because then we're no longer in His image as a creation. We're walking on this earth no longer having a spirit that was created in the image of God, as we were told that we were by God. And so, this is all by the good pleasure of His will. Not that it was owed, but because He loved. That's why John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, in His humanity, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus didn't love the cross, but He loved what it could accomplish if people would repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Each one that would do that, He would save. So having predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. And by the way, He says the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This was God's desire. And the Calvinists want to turn that good pleasure of His will, is that He wanted to send some to hell. And yet, that contradicts another passage there in the book of Ezekiel, where God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So if that doesn't bring Him pleasure, but He's doing all this according to the good pleasure of His will, He's opened up a way of salvation. You see, the completion of that adoption that we just read here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it is seen in Romans 8:23, and I said that earlier. And not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting the adoption, to wit. The word to wit means which is. To wit, the redemption of our body. And so, when you look at Romans 8:23, that's what the adoption is. Now, a lot of people come up with men's laws and men's physical things about adoption, and praise God for adoption. I know of adopted children and people that became great, loving, good Christian people. But it's not the same thing as that. I mean, our adoption, when the Bible's speaking of adoption, is talking about the rapture. The resurrection. And somebody say, well, we don't see the word rapture in the Bible. Well, there's a yes and a no to that. The word rapture came from a Latin word raptura, in which they use the word rapture for English sake. But really, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of being caught up to be with the Lord, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that word caught up is the Greek word harpazo. So if you don't like the word rapture, then just say, well, I'm waiting for the harpazo. Okay. Now, I think a lot of us have a hard time with that, but the harpazo is simply meaning to catch up. That's what it is. I asked one man to come challenge me about it. I said, okay. You believe you're going to go to heaven when you die? Are you saved? And you believe you're going to go to heaven? Yeah, I will. Are you going to go up there on an airplane, a jet, spaceship, a train? Or are you just going to be caught up? He just walked away. Okay. He just walked away, so he never answered that question. And that was wisdom on his part, because perhaps he realized then, well, wait a minute, I've been standing against the truth, and I better keep my mouth shut now, because I've just been revealed. Although he didn't do it, he might have been doing it sincerely, because some guy out there with a lot of $25 words convinced him of, you may be predestined to heaven, or you may be predestined to hell. Now, again, this grace of God, verse 11, we're still looking at this grace of God that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. Appeared is the Greek word epiphano, which is the word there that we often use in talking about these things. Of, we don't really get any English word from it, as some of these Greek words we do, but this one really is important, because it does speak of how it's teaching us that we are denying ungodliness. Okay. And so we are looking at that. And so as we see it, it's that that brings salvation. This grace brings salvation. And that's what the word is just simply talking about. It has the idea of to shine a light upon us before others. This light was important. We see the idea of the demand of repentance in John 3:19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Meaning, they love their deeds. They didn't want to stop. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.